When we say to each other, I will do this or I will do that, most of the time we mean to do it. I don't think there's anybody here that ever says to somebody, hey, I'm going to do this or I will do this, and already has in their mind that they're not going to do it. I think most everybody here, if not everybody here, when they make a commitment and say, I will do this, they intend to do it. But there are some times that we don't do what we say we're going to do. Sometimes circumstances get in the way. I mean, we intend to do something, but our schedule fills up so much and we have so many other things to do that we don't do what we say we're going to do. I think all of us, if we're honest, would say that we have a touch of Alzheimer's disease, and there are things that we say we will do that we just forget. And then I think there's things that we promise to do, that we say we will do, that we actually don't have the ability to do, and when we come up to the task of actually doing it, we find out that we can't. This morning and tonight, I want to talk about some I wills that you can count on. I want to talk about some I wills that you can take to the bank. I want to talk about some I wills that you can depend on, that some I wills that circumstances won't get in the way, that forgetfulness won't get in the way, that inability won't get in the way. Today, this morning and tonight, I'm going to speak on the subjects, Christ's I wills. The I wills that Jesus Christ said. There's many in the Bible, but we're going to focus on 8 today. And I'm going to do 4 this morning, and I'm going to do 4 tonight. And here's what I want you to remember as we go forward through the message this morning. When Jesus says he will do something, he will do it. We sang this morning, standing on the promises. And when he makes a promise to us, you can depend that he's going to keep that promise. In fact, I have not found one instance in the Bible where Jesus said he was going to do something and didn't do it. I have not found one instance in my own experience when Jesus said that he was going to do something. He said it in the book, but he said it to me through the Bible. Not one instance, not one example in my life where he's ever failed to do what he said he was going to do. And I have talked to many, many other people about what Jesus has said he was going to do for them, and I don't know of one instance where the Savior said, I will, and didn't do it. And so, if Jesus says he will do it, he will do it. And this morning, I want to look at 4 I wills that are in this book that have some blessed, blessed truth in them. The first one is found in Matthew chapter 11, verse 28, one of the verses that Adam read a moment ago, where it says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Now, that's an invitation that Jesus makes to every single person. And that's an invitation that every single person needs. And that's an invitation that scores in this room have already responded to. And if I gave them an opportunity to stand and testify this morning, they would stand and say, hey, Jesus, when Jesus said, I will give you rest, he did exactly to me what he promised to do. Now, I know some of you might be here this morning and say, hey, preacher, that doesn't apply to me. I'm not heavy laden. I'm not carrying a heavy burden about. I'm not laboring under some heavy load that's on my back. And I would quickly point out to you that in these verses, Jesus is not talking about a physical burden. He's talking about a spiritual burden, and that burden is sin. And every single person in this room, some of them have got that burden lifted, and some of you are still carrying it, but every single person in this room at some point was carrying a load, that burden called sin. The Bible says there's none righteous, no, not one. The Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible says the wages of sin is death. And if you're not saved this morning, if you've never received Jesus Christ as your Savior, you are carrying a burden. That burden is sin, and that burden will lead eventually when you die straight to hell. Jesus said in this verse, he says, if you will come to me, I will lift that burden. I will take that burden, and I will give you rest. Now here's what man says. Hey, Jesus, I can handle it myself. I'll do something. I'll live a good life. I'll join the church. I'll get baptized. I'll take the Lord's Supper. I'll be kind to people. I'll be a good citizen. I'll do all these things. And I'll take care of my own sin burden. And here's what that verse is talking about. So mankind, it started with Cain in the garden. After they got out of the Garden of Eden, it started with Cain. He said, I'll do this, I'll do that. And what that verse is talking about, that's what the labor is. We labor to do stuff for God. We labor to try to win His favor. We labor under the assumption that if we do enough good that we can get back in His good graces, and the burden of sin gets bigger, the weight of sin gets heavier, and we're bowed down underneath that sin trying to do something to get right with God. And a do something system, a do something religion, a do something salvation will not work. A do-something salvation will take you straight to hell. And what you need this morning is not a do-something system, not a do-something religion, not a do-something salvation. You need a system that says, it is finished. You need a religion that has a Savior that says, it is finished. You need a Savior that hung on the cross and as He shed His last drop of blood, cried out, it is finished. And Jesus says, you come to me, and I'll lift that burden. You can't buy it. You can't earn it. You can't do something to get it. Bible says, not of works, lest any man should boast. It says, you come to me, I'll lift that burden. You come to me, I'll take that load of sin off of you. You come to me, and I'll give you rest from your labor. And again, there are scores in this room this morning that have put Jesus to the test on this I will. And they could stand this morning and say this, I carried a burden of sin. And it got heavy and heavier and heavier. I did everything I thought that would get rid of it. And it got heavier and heavier and heavier. And one day, somebody told me that Jesus loved me. One day somebody told me that Jesus died for my sin. One day somebody told me if I came, He would give me rest from my labor. And I came. And scores could testify to this morning. I came, and Jesus did exactly what He said He was going to do. He took my burden of sin. He put it on His only begotten Son. And when Jesus died on Calvary, He died for my sins and He died for your sins. The Bible says we are healed by His infirmities. The iniquities of us all were laid on Him. And by His stripes, we are healed. I will give you rest. Now, the second one, when you add it to the first one, makes the first one even sweeter. The second one is found in John chapter 6, verse 37, where Jesus said this, He that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. Put them together. Come unto me, and I all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And he that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. You see, when you come to Jesus, Jesus doesn't pick and choose. He doesn't say, hey, I'll take that one and that one and that one, but I don't have room for that one and that one and that one. When we come to Jesus, He takes every one of us. There will be no rejections. There will be no one turned away. There will be no one cast out, as that verse says. And I know there may be people here this morning who say, preacher, hey, you don't know me. You don't know what I've done. When you were talking about everybody being a sinner a minute ago, you didn't need to convince me because I know I'm a sinner. And I would be ashamed for everybody in this room to know what I've done. God would not take me. I'm too bad of a sinner. Well, you're right. I don't know what kind of sinner you are. I don't know what you've done. Your sin may be as dark as the blackest night. It may, the Bible talks about sin being red. It may be as red as scarlet. It may be like crimson. I don't know. I don't know about your sin. It may be bad, although I think the Bible says if we offend the law in one point, we're guilty of all, so the liar is just as bad as a murderer in God's sight. I don't know about your sin, but I know what kind of Savior we have. I know the kind of sinners He takes. I know that He'll take a murderer. I know that He'll take a rapist. I know that He'll take a child molester. I know that He'll take a liar. I know that He'll take somebody who before had nothing to do with God, who cursed Him, who didn't even believe that He existed. I know my God will take those kind of people. And you say, hey, well, it all sounds good, but I don't deserve it. I don't deserve it. I want to tell you something. I've never known one person to come to Christ who got saved that deserved it. We're all sinners. We all come unworthily. We all come undeservedly. We all come, as Paul said, as the chiefest of sinners. I encourage you this morning, don't wait till you feel like you deserve it to come to Christ. The Bible says, but God commendeth or proved His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Man, I'm glad God didn't wait to send Jesus to die for me until I deserved it. Because I tell you what, He never would have came. He never would have came. I'm glad when I didn't deserve it. When I say like Paul, I was the chiefest of sinners. Jesus came and died for me. And He'll turn no one away. No one away. I will give you rest. I will take everybody that comes. The third I will, when you add it to the first two and put it together as a package, makes it even sweeter. It makes it even sweeter. In Luke chapter 5, a leper came to Jesus. And leprosy back in the day of Jesus was a dreaded disease. It was a disease that was incurable, and it was a disease that ate away at your bodies. I mean, your fingers would fall off, your toes would fall off, your ears would fall off, your nose would fall off. You'd have open sores in your bodies that would just run pus and blood. And if you had leprosy, you were in exile. You couldn't live with your family. You couldn't live in the city. You had to live outside the city. And if somebody approached you, say you were out where you were supposed to be and somebody approached you and they were coming towards you, you had to get out of their way. And you had to hold a rag over your upper lip and you had to cry out a warning. Unclean! Unclean! And it was a dreaded disease. And in Luke chapter 5, a leper came to Jesus. And He said this in verse 12, Lord, if Thou wilt, Thou can make me clean. The doctors can't do it. I can't have an operation to get it done. There's no medicine that anybody can give me to make me clean. But He said, Lord, I believe that if You wanted to, if You will, You can make me clean. And the Bible says in the next verse, in Luke chapter 5, verse 13, and Jesus put forth His hand and touched him, saying, I will, be thou clean. And again, the Bible says, and immediately the leprosy departed from him. Hey, if he were missing fingers, he had all 10 of them back. If he were missing toes, he had them all back. If there was a piece of his ear that fell off, his ear was complete. If a piece of his nose had fallen off, it was complete. If he had open sores in his body that just a moment before had run blood and pus, and he had taken that old leper's rag and sopped it up, his skin was like a little baby skin, completely healed. And that's what Jesus does for us today. We come to him. He says, I'll lift that burden of sin. And I'll take everybody that comes. And when you come, I'll clean you up. I'll clean you up. That life that was wrecked with sin, it can be clean and pure. That life that was dying can be made alive. That life that had no purpose can have purpose again. Jesus does that for us today. He'll take a life that we've wasted in sin and clean it up and give it meaning and give it purpose. Now we come to the fourth I will. And when you put the fourth I will together with the other three, it becomes real sweet. And I'll just tell you before I start, I cannot do it justice this morning. I was thinking about my sermon as I was flying home yesterday night, and I got to this part of it. I just closed my Bible and I began to weep. I was sitting by myself, but the stewardess called me, saw me, and she came over and sat down beside me. She said, are you okay? I said, yeah, I'm good. I just can't get over how good God has been to me. She started crying too. She said, I know what you mean. And we just sat there and rejoiced a little bit in the first row of the airplane as I was flying. Here's the fourth I will. Matthew chapter 10, verse 32. Whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father, which is in heaven. Terry, come up here for a minute, would you? I need you to help me. Terry's a sinner. One day he hears the gospel. And somebody tells him, says, hey, Terry, if you'll come to Jesus, he'll take that burden of sin that you have. The burden of sin you're trying to get rid of by trying to do something, by laboring. He'll take that burden of sin and he'll put it on Jesus and you won't have to carry it anymore. He'll take you. Doesn't matter what you've done. Doesn't matter what kind of sinner you are. He'll take you. And he'll change your life. Clean it up. Give it meaning and give it purpose. So Terry decides to take God up on his word. He comes and he receives Jesus Christ as his Savior. He walks the aisle in a church and the pastor stands beside him and says, hey, folks, I got some good news for you this morning. Terry has come and he's asked Jesus to be his Savior. In a week or so, he comes and submits himself for baptism. And the church baptizes him. Another way of confessing before men that Terry has come to Christ. Now, I'm going to show you what happens. Hey, Jeff, would you come? Sit down right there. Jeff's God. I'm Jesus. I sit at God's right hand. The moment Terry prays and receives Christ as his Savior, here's what Jesus does. Dad, I got to tell you something. I want to introduce you to somebody. You see that old guy down there? He just asked me to be a Savior. Dad, he's part of the family now. And you know what Dad says? He says, son, go get the book. Go get the book. And Jesus goes in heaven and he gets the book of life. And he brings the book of life over to God the Father. And God takes the book of life and writes in the book of life Terry's name. Oh, what a good God. What a wonderful Savior. Thanks, Terry. Thanks, Jeff. Go sit down. There ain't no such thing as a secret Christian. If you've been saved and you've never told anybody about it, this morning what you need to do is get up from your seat, walk down the aisle, and say, hey, I want everybody to know that I've asked Jesus to be my Savior. I'm not ashamed of him. He saved me from my sin. I was one of the most wicked sinners there ever was. And he took me in. He's cleaned up my life. And he confessed me before the Father. If you're here and you've been saved and you've never been baptized, say, baptism's not such a big deal. Yes, it is. It is. It has nothing to do with salvation. But baptism is another way of standing before men and confessing the Savior. I've trusted Jesus Christ as my Savior. I'm not ashamed of him. I will confess him before men. And when we confess him before men, either by coming and making public the fact that we've received him as our Savior, by getting baptized, by telling somebody, Jesus at the right hand of God confesses us before the Father. Now, if you're here this morning and you've never received Jesus Christ as your Savior, I'll go back to what I said at the very beginning. He will do exactly what he said he would do. You come to him and he'll give you the rest that you've been seeking. Quit laboring under trying to do something to get right with God when he did everything that was required. And he'll take you. You don't have to worry about your sin. He'll take you. He'll clean you up. And he will confess you before the Father. Now, I don't know about you, but if I was here and I wasn't saved, I'd get saved. In fact, it's so good. And I know you can't get saved again, but if you could, I'd get saved again. Please don't leave this place without missing it. Please don't leave this place rejecting Jesus Christ. He's done so much for you. Why would you leave this place not taking what he purchased for you on Calvary? Let's pray together. Father, thank you for the wonderful, wonderful news that's in this book. Thank you for a Savior who, when he says something, will do exactly what he says. And Father, I pray for those that might be here this morning that don't know Jesus Christ as their Savior. They're carrying a heavy burden of sin. And I pray, Father, this morning that they would understand there ain't nothing they can do about it except come to Jesus. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. And so I pray for that young person, for that middle-aged adult, for that senior adult, for any person in this room who's never confessed Christ, for any person in this room who's never received him. Father, I pray right where they sit, you would just help them pray that prayer that you taught us as sinners to pray. Lord, I know I'm a sinner. Lord, be merciful.